Good afternoon, friends. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign these days. We're fighting to protect the Government Accountability Board from destruction at the hands of the power mongers in the Capitol, and protect the Legislative Audit Bureau, protect open records, let people register to vote and vote instead of repressing the vote like these guys are doing up there. And it's not just Scott Walker. You know, it's easy to blame Scott Walker for all the problems in Madison and in Wisconsin. But Scott Walker, he's just a paid servant. And there are other paid servants up there. So even in the happy day when Scott Walker's gone, we're going to still have a lot of work to do. And I know you'll be doing it, and I'll be doing it, and we're going to get the job done. Right now, I got a great privilege. I'm going to introduce to you someone who is Donald Trump's nightmare. She is a woman. She's a Latina. She fights for immigrant rights, she fights for workers' rights, and she will not be bullied by any billionaire blowhard. Her name is Christine Newman Ortiz. She heads Voces de la Frontera down in Milwaukee, in Racine. It's the biggest immigrant rights group in the state. She's turned out 50,000, 70,000 people for immigrant rights rallies in Milwaukee, record-sized rallies. She's increased the turnout in the Latino community in Milwaukee and Racine by one-third over the last decade or two. She's been working at this for 20 years now. And she's an amazing person. She's on the national board of the largest immigration rights group in the country. And she doesn't just sit in the board, she sits in the streets. She got arrested a couple years ago with about 40 other immigrant rights leaders in Washington, D.C., demanding a comprehensive and humane solution to this issue. So I give you my friend and colleague, Christine Newman Ortiz.
Such a treat to be here with all of you, this beautiful day, and all these beautiful people out here, all of you, and just the fantastic opportunity to hear from all these folks. Just wanted to share with you a reflection I had. I was driving over from Milwaukee to Madison earlier this week, and I had the opportunity in those 3 hours to listen to Spanish language radio stations. And the message that I was hearing was very similar to the English media outlets, where we're hearing all the commentators replaying clips of Trump and being offended and making fun of him. And I called the station to ask them, please promote our citizenship clinic, which is actually happening today in Milwaukee, that's helping lawful permanent residents become U.S. citizens and exercise their right to vote. Because this kind of hate requires action. We have to organize sharply against the hate. Just this Thursday, one of our members, who's a Latino small business owner, received anti-immigrant hate mail, as a number of other Latino small business owners had. It was the same person by the penmanship that had sent Voces a postcard that said, quote, it's time to implement Hitler's final solution. Our member's response was to call a television station to publicly condemn the hate speech. He promoted our citizenship class and filed a police report. My initial reaction to hearing the Republican primary debates was that, they're just speaking to a very narrow base of people because that's the way they gerrymandered their political districts, including Wisconsin. And they have a big microphone because of the television coverage of the debates. But their extreme opinions do not reflect the majority opinion in this country's very diverse population, and on the contrary, would cost them the presidential election next year, building a wall between them and Latino voters. However, as time has gone by, and in the absence of television coverage of Democratic presidential debates that for the first time will include a more progressive agenda and debate, it is clear that politics are getting played out, really do represent a threat, and it's infecting the culture. It's bringing out the worst bigoted sentiments against immigrants, women, African Americans, Latinos, and Muslims, in making it mainstream, and also inciting Trump's extreme followers to commit hate crimes. In Boston, two brothers terrorized a homeless Latino man. They beat him with a pipe and urinated on his face. They later told the police they were inspired by Trump, and Trump's response was to say, "My followers are passionate." Most recently, a man pulled the hair of a young immigrant while another immigrant spat on a Trump person at a Trump rally. Bodyguards punched a protester and took a sign. That same bodyguard was the one that forcibly removed the highly respected television anchor Jorge Ramos from Trump's press conference. Trump telling him, "Go back to Univision," and another Trump supporter yelling at Ramos, who happens to be a US citizen, "Get out of my country." Trump's growing appeal is based on crass, racist language that stereotypes and degrades immigrant workers and their families, characterizing them as rapists, murderers, bad people, and making proposals that are lining up with white supremacist groups, such as repealing birthright citizenship. For African Americans, as well as the foreign-born in this country, birthright citizenship is the idea enshrined in our Constitution that, quote, "all people born or naturalized in the United States are entitled to equal protection under the law." And it has been the touchstone of the civil rights movement for years. Trump's making great again message implies that the United States should make ethnic and racial cleansing official policy by promising to deport 11 million people in 2 years, starting the first day elected, mass deportation centers in Baltimore and Chicago, and building a wall between Mexico and the US. He thinks he's gonna get Mexico to pay for it. So Trump and the party of Trump, as the other candidates, including Governor Walker, have followed him down this rabbit hole of white supremacist rhetoric and policies, either tacitly or with similar proposals. Walker, as was mentioned, already proposed building a wall between Canada and the US, and also supports this idea of repealing birthright citizenship. So instead of dealing with 11 million undocumented people through comprehensive immigration reform, we're now going to take away citizenship from the children and then have even larger numbers. And guess what? Everyone would have to prove their immigration status, or you're out of here too. And what he is doing that is dangerous, it's not just the racism, but it's really his appeal to working people. He portrays himself as a Washington outsider and a corporate genius of trickle-down economics. He's appealing very cynically to a section of working people's vote, appealing to prejudice against workers, undermining class consciousness, solidarity, and basic compassion and empathy for the plight of other human beings. On top of this, the international coverage of the refugee crisis in the Mediterranean and our own government's terrible response to the root causes of the migration of Central American children coming to the United States really is lacking a discussion about what are the root causes of this desperate and deadly migration, and our own government's responsibility that is contributing to the conditions in these countries that are leading to forced migration, both economic and political. But the question today is not what about what the Republican Party candidates are saying or what their followers do. The question is about what we do, what we say as a progressive movement. And in these times of resistance against austerity measures and attacks on working people, the necessity to form strategic alliances between labor unions, workers' centers, and community organizations is essential to rebuild the labor movement. And this new labor movement will be necessarily birthed from a broader social justice movement that connects those union workers with non-union workers, with youth, with minorities, in the fight to raise wages and improve conditions. And also a strong civil rights agenda that builds that unity among workers, such as ending policies that criminalize immigrants and the poor. What is the going rate, can anyone tell me, for a foreign worker in a for-profit private detention center in which half of all undocumented immigrants are housed? Can anyone tell me? What do you think it is? What is the wages for that person?
$1 a day.
$1 a day is correct. So there's a lot of money that's driving this behind it. And that's what's really behind the curtain. So we have to form this alliance to broaden the movement, to counter the kind of racist, xenophobic, misogynist movement that is getting played out in the national political debate. And it cannot just be defensive about what we're trying to protect. It's also got to be visionary about what we want for the future. So when we say we are against school budget cuts, privatization, we also need to lift up the demand, free higher education for all. When we say we have to fight to defend and expand deferred action for undocumented immigrant youth and parents, we have to affirm the fundamental right of all working people to cross borders, as they have throughout time, in the same way the wealthy, corporations, and capital freely move across borders. And the reaction or the fear against those demands is rooted in the idea of scarcity and competition between workers. And it's cynically promoted by corporate and wealthy interests to divert our attention from their own excesses and culpability for growing economic inequality. But even worse, it threatens to rob us of our humanity, our empathy, our compassion for others, and identifying with our own shared past and history. Voces's own experience over these type of alliances in the last 15 years has been moving and instructive. As was mentioned as part of my introduction, the mass May Day marches since 2006 have become more multiracial, multi-ethnic, and have brought back May 1st as a Wisconsin Labor Day tradition. The formation and growth of our youth chapters with teacher union partnership before and after Act 10, when teachers marched and supported immigrant rights in the DREAM Act, and students in turn defended their teachers and counselors and their right to their rights on the job in marches at the state capitol and now in school board hearings. Yes, students created a student bill of rights for public education in Wisconsin. It includes collective bargaining rights. And just last November in Racine, they turned out 450 high school youth with 50 adults to support a successful school funding referendum that brought in $8.5 million a year for the next 5 years for Unified School District. Elections are critical, and they have deep and real consequences. But the kind of grassroots movement that we need to build, are building, and must continue to grow intentionally over time is essential to actually winning tangible victories on the job, at the local level, in building that united labor movement that can make sure our priorities are not sidelined over political considerations or pigeonholed to partisan politics. Our agenda must push through these limitations. The period when we are in can also be a period of opportunity. Walker inspired mass protests and has forced the reorganization and activism of labor unions in his efforts to destroy them and contributed to new alliances. Congressman Sensenbrenner in 2006 is responsible for igniting the modern immigrant rights movement, which kicked off with mass general strikes and marches to defeat his bill. California's Proposition 187 in California in 1994 drove Latinos to naturalize and vote and made anti-immigrant politics in California political suicide. It's not just how horrible Republicans are to Democrats as the lesser of two evils, but a strong grassroots movement that will demand from our elected leaders and ourselves dramatic changes that respect the dignity and quality of life for all working class families. Building that movement is not easy, it takes time, but we can do it, and it's the only way forward. Solidarity.